Let's take a look at this news. An apprentice at 70 years old sounds unbelievable, but it's true right now. The last time Terry Robinson was an apprentice, when he was 15 years old, he was expected to make the tea and sweep up behind a treatment. Now he's taking multiple choice exams behind a computer. He said that as the years clock by, your ability to retain information does diminish. He said 70 years old, who is currently a customer advisor for a British home improvement store, B&Q, and studying to reach supervisor level. He said, it is much more difficult past your 60s. It's not impossible, but you have to drive harder. 那我们都听说过实习或者是学徒这个名词。那提起这个名词的时候呢，我们通常会认为是非常年轻的时候会开始这个学徒的工作，比方说二十出头啊，或者是十几岁。最近在英国出现了这样一批学徒，他们的平均年龄都超过了70岁，那年龄最大的呢是95岁。So it's happened in Britain, so maybe you could have some opinions on that.
That's right. Well, Mr. Robinson, he'd served in the Royal Air Force for a time in the 1960s, and although he's 70, he says that, you know, he couldn't wind down when he reached normal retirement age. So B&Q, for the last 20 years or so, they've had a policy of employing anybody regardless of their age, and they've in the 1980s they opened one store in the north of England, and it was staffed entirely by older workers, and at the time it was called a huge success. Initially, B&Q, the company, thought that older workers might require more training than their younger colleagues, but the trial that they had disproved this, and it also employs a similar proportion of under 25, so, you know, it employs people across the whole age range from below 20 to over 70. In fact, their oldest employee is 95.
Yes, older workers have also shown low levels of absenteeism and a flexibility to work schedules that measures its business demand. One said, one of four main achievements has been to develop an age-neutral working policy, removing the retirement age over 15 years old, along with any age criteria in relation to recruitment or benefits.
Yeah, you see, older workers, usually they've had an extensive life experience, and the skills that they've been able to use for many years. I mean, just take an example, wiring plugs. You know, a customer might go in and not know how to wire a plug, and the older worker would be able to do that. Maybe the younger person couldn't. Older workers also, they don't have so much absenteeism. They're not away from work or off sick so often. They're more flexible to the work schedules. And so I think really it's something that other companies should try.
Yeah, it's a good start. Like this one, Robinson, who served for a time in the Royal Air Force in the 1960s, says part of his role is mentoring junior staff, many of whom do not bring strong social skills to their roles. He also worries about their prospects in years to come. He said, I try and explain that the reason I'm reasonably well off is the fact that I was encouraged many years ago to save for retirement. He said, unless something is done, they are going to be in poverty when they retire. It does concern me, and it really does. Yeah, that's, so I think those people, they are still full of energy, full of passion for work, for life.
And I think a lot of older workers, they've had disciplined work experience as well, so they know, you know, what it's like to have to work and maybe work their way up in a job which can be quite demanding. So if people have kept themselves fit and not just sat behind a desk all the time, people who've had quite a physical job, and it seems that this Mr. Robinson is one of those, there's no reason why people shouldn't keep going. It's a trend that we've seen in America, and no doubt in Britain and other countries as well.
Yeah. according to an English poll, that British people, they think when you are rich than your neighbors, then you will feel very happy. Really, when you feel, how to define you are rich or not, maybe you think you have a lot of money, like a billionaire or a millionaire, then you're rich. But speaking of the happiness, this poll indicates that if you are richer than your neighbors, then you feel, you know, happy a lot. 那么这个研究呢是来自于英国的，英国的研究人员发现，单纯拥有财富不能给人们带来幸福，只有人们发现拥有财富比身边人多的时候才会产生幸福感。那么英国的这个报纸称呢，英国沃里克大学的心理博士称呢，虽然现在生活比40年前要好很多，但是人们依然有跟别人比一比的强烈愿望，而这恰恰是幸福感的源泉。 So according to this doctor, he said although, you know, right now people are getting really wealthy compared to 40 years ago, but people are still want to compare with the others.
Well, we have a saying in England, keeping up with the Joneses. Jones is quite a common surname in Britain, and well, a lot of Welsh people actually are called Jones. So keeping up with the Joneses, people, you know, want to compete, especially with their neighbours, to have more than their neighbours have acquired.So the poor neighbours who are left behind, they, you know, it's all right for the rich people to think they're, you know, satisfied and happy. So the poor people who don't have enough, they'll be feeling sad.
Yeah.
So that's quite an
imbalance.
Would
you compare with your, like, for example, like your cars with your neighbour's cars, or your house, how big is your house, and or bigger than your neighbour's?
Well, people do that, but I suppose if you are rich, you go up the property ladder, the property ladder. So you move to an area where people are probably equally well off, so you wouldn't stay in the same area where people maybe, you know, just bought their houses for a lower price. You would go up the property market and go to an area which is more exclusive, where people would be expected to have better cars or more expensive cars, more expensive everything.
Yeah. 那么专家说呢，人们对物质财富的追求呢仿佛没有止境，正因为如此，许多人忘我的工作，住更好的房子，开更好的车，谁都不希望自己落在后面。那这个专家还说呢，英国人陷入了永不满足的怪圈里面。他说，你的车好，邻居的车更好，所以你拼命努力，而当你的车跟邻居的车一样好时，邻居的车又换成更好的车。增加收入呢，对个人来说当然是件好事，但是你的收入比周围人多两倍的时候，周围人只会觉得自己的收入比你少了两倍，于是物质财富的攀比呢陷入了恶性循环。从这个意义上讲，单纯的经济增长可以让每个社会成员都变得富有，却不能让每个人都感到幸福。Yeah, so that's the problem. If you get richer, or then you still going to compare to with the others, like your relatives, your friends, your coworkers, or your, even your neighbors. Maybe that's the, no matter how rich you are, you're going to still, you know, the problem still is like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a position to compare myself with very rich people, because I'm not in that wealth league. But I can imagine that people who are used to having a lot, you know, they will expect to have more. And the thing is, you know, the more you have, the more you want. That's another expression. So how much is enough? You know, I think people are probably a little bit anxious if they have a lot of money. You know, they've got more expenditure, they've got more things to worry about, to spend their money on. So, you know, enough, what is enough, you know? It's difficult to define. So the wealthier you are, the wealthier you are, you know, you have friends who are wealthy, you've got to keep up with each other's lifestyles, you know, perhaps more expensive holidays or buying other properties. You know, if your friend's got a helicopter, you have a helicopter, have a yacht. So, you know, one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And so it goes on. But it's good for the world economy, because it makes people keep buying things, doesn't it?
Yeah, no matter how rich you are, there is more richer people than you. Now let's look at some information related to health. Sales of laptop computers passed desktops in the U.S. for the first time ever this fall. And that's the bad news for backs, necks, and shoulders. Laptops are inherently, you know...
Yeah, I think they're unergonomic. I think that's the word that often people use if they're specialists in muscle pain and this sort of thing. And, the thing is, if you work at a computer, I think most people should know by now that the keyboard should be at elbow height, so your upper and lower arms form an angle of 90 degrees or more, and your forearms are supported by armrests. The monitor should be roughly at eye level, so you can lean back in a chair with back support. But most users, they simply put their laptops on the desk or table. The keyboard's too high, that makes you reach up your arms, and your shoulders are hunched forward, your wrists are bent down, the monitor's too low, that pulls your head and neck forward and down, puts a strain on your back. I mean, what I do with my laptop, I put it on a desk, yes, but I put it on something higher. In actual fact, I got a little cupboard on the desk, so it is at eye level. I stand in front because I don't like to sit down too much. So I have tackled the problem in my own way, but it is important to really think about how you are sitting and, you know, what position your body, your head and neck are in, and your arms when you're using a computer, because people can go on for hour after hour, can't they, using a computer continually, and they've got to really think about the effect it's having on their joints and all parts of their body, as well as their eyes. Most people think, oh, well, you know, it'd be bad for our eyes, but it's the other parts of your body as well that are affected.
I also put some, dictionaries under my laptop, and I have a, you know, same level for my eyes to the, you know, the monitor. 那刚才我们提到的就是这个笔记本电脑的一些相关的信息。那在美国呢，去年呢笔记本电脑的销售呢也创了这有史以来的新高。但是呢，对于健康来讲呢，对于很多人的肩颈或者是背来说呢，其实用笔记本电脑呢这个姿势不当的话，没准是一个非常坏的消息。那纽约市的这个疼痛中心的医生说呢，笔记本电脑本质上是不符合人体工程学的，除非你身高只有两英尺高。那当你在电脑前工作的时候呢，键盘应该和肘部齐高，这样你的大臂和小臂形成90度角或者是更大的角度，小臂可以放在椅子扶手上，显示器呢应该大概和眼睛处于同一个水平线上，这样呢你就能往后靠在椅背上。但是大部分的使用者呢都只是把笔记本电脑放在桌子的或者是普通的桌面上，那键盘呢放得太高，必须这样呢就必须把胳膊伸得非常的高，耸起肩膀，弯着手臂，那显示器太低呢，你的脑袋或者是脖子都必须往前向下方伸，这样呢使得背部就会非常的紧张，那久而久之呢就会对健康，对你的这个背部造成很大的伤害。 You know, put in the right position.
Yeah, I mean, some people, if they have to use a laptop for their work, you know, they can't avoid using it for long periods of time. And if you think, well, how can a mouse or a keyboard hurt you? Well, it can, because people who do studies, these ergonomic consultants for factories and offices, they know that poor technique can significantly overload people's anatomy. The people who design computers, obviously, you know, they try to make sure that it doesn't affect people's bodies too much. But, I mean, just imagine, I mean, I've had pains in my hand, wrist, you know, the amount of time you spend using the mouse, you know, it's repetitive strain injury is another thing they say. So, I mean, I suppose if you have a mouse which is actually on the laptop rather than the separate mouse, maybe that's easier. But, you know, change the position of the mouse so you're not using it with your right hand all the time. Try using it with the left hand. That's perhaps something you could think of doing.
Yeah, but sometimes you use the laptop's mouse is going to be very difficult to locate your mouse.
I know. So maybe, you know, these new developments are coming about. We talked a week or two ago about, you know, maybe machines that respond to your body movements, maybe your eyes, you know. So I think this is something for the future, that maybe just by moving your eyes, you'll be able to move the information on the computer.
没错。大家说呢，如果你只是偶尔或者短时间的用一架笔记本电脑呢，这样就不会有太大的问题。但是如果你一坐就是几个钟头的话，就像很多的大学生、商务旅客 还有网络上班族、游戏玩家等等呢，那你就会觉得和自己的肌肉在过不去，这样呢有可能会导致你整个上身都非常的疼痛。 Yeah, so pay much attention to your, you know, position of your gesture when you use the laptop. And now let's listen to a song from Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It? Do With It.And that was Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It? Alright, so speaking of Londoner, right now the famous British steep upper lip has become a thing of the past, according to the survey recently which found Britons are no longer embarrassed to shed a tear or be affectionate in public. 那最近的一项调查显示，英国人不苟言笑的著名形象呢，如今已经成为过去。调查发现，英国人已经不再羞于当众落泪或者是流露感情了。Do you think it's true? Or not?
Well, I'm not sure. A bakery Warburton's Bakers, a spokesperson from that company who's carried out research in connection with an upcoming advertising campaign. According to them, he says the British stiff upper lip is finally wobbling as more and more Brits wear their hearts on their sleeves. Apparently, about 75% of Brits now greet each other with an air kiss or a hug, which is an increase of a third over the past 15 years, while over 60% of the 1,000 people surveyed said they had cried in public. Mm. So, well, I mean, British people, according to the survey, they're prone to getting carried away when they're excited, with 47% waving their arms in the air, a third jumping up and down, and 3 in 10 throwing their arms around someone nearby. And plotted on the so-called Passion Index, which measures how often people display emotion, Britain averaged 69 out of 100, with people in the south most likely to show how they feel, while the Welsh were the least emotional.
那根据这个调查显示呢，如今越来越多的英国人开始大胆地表露自己的感情，英国人不苟言笑的传统形象呢，终于开始改变了。同时呢，还显示呢，如今英国人在激动的时候也会忘乎所以，47%的人呢会手舞足蹈，1/3的人会高兴地跳上跳下，而3/10的人呢会拥抱旁边的人。那根据用来衡量人们流露情感频率的这个热情指数呢，英国人的平均热情指数是69分，那总分是100分。英国南部地区的人最容易流露感情，那像威尔士人呢最不善于表达感情。Why do you think like a Welsh were the least emotional? It's not far away from the south.
Well, no, it's not. Oh my goodness, I really don't know. I suppose the Welsh people I've known have been quite emotional. South Wales, there's, I think, quite a lot of difference between people in the South Wales and the Welsh Valleys and people in North Wales, the more rural areas. I don't know. I mean, the Welsh are very passionate about music, about rugby. That's a favourite game, rugby union in Wales. So I would question that research finding. You know, it depends who you ask in a survey, doesn't it?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so speaking of this news, it didn't mean that why English people, they show this kind of affection or this kind of things. Why they change so much lately? Because of what?
Well, I suppose it's because of, the modern way. Maybe Americans have shown the way, have led the way. What happens in America often comes across the Atlantic to Britain a few years later.
Was too comedy?
Yeah, it could be. You know, the effect of the media and entertainment industry. And also maybe the television programs that are watched by a lot of people. Shows like reality TV, these sort of things, allow young people particularly to open up and express their feelings and talk about things that maybe their parents or grandparents would never have talked about in public. And that's a big difference now. And also these people, the internet sites and people are allowed, young people especially, to discuss things, I suppose, at school as well. People, I think at school, child-centered learning has caused a lot of this. People are expected to express themselves and every person is valuable, so it's important to show how you feel.
Yeah. Internet, this kind of like a social networking site recently is really, really popular. I think not only in Britain, but also all over the world. Like in China, we have different kinds of social networking sites. People you know or you don't know, you can make friends on the Internet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for example, in the United States, more people now visit social networking sites to write on each other's walls and swap pictures of maybe drunken japes at parties. And then they go on to get travel directions on one of these search engines, or maybe to check the spelling of various words. Social networking is the biggest separator of the young from the not-so-young. In most respects, there's not much to choose between people of maybe 50 or 15, but the main difference is, apart from experience and maybe a lot of wrinkles, Everyone wears jeans, no matter whether they're 15 or 50. More or less everyone maybe likes the same pop music, Florence and the Machine, somebody is quoted as saying. But 15-year-olds live on social networking sites. Mm. Maybe some 50-year-olds or people over 50, maybe they don't understand it. That's one thing, you see. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is a small thing, but it's a huge difference. It's a non-meeting of minds between two generations over what is not just a different way of communicating, but it's a different way of living.
Yeah. 那么说到这个生活方式呢，当下的这个年轻人呢，其实有自己的一种生活方式，就是他们很多人呢，其实每天都会花几个小时在网络上浏览。那这种浏览呢，其实是有自己的这样的微博或者是博客，或者是他们到这种社交网站上面。那在美国的很多的这个社交网站，它的浏览量其实已经超过了当今非常著名的这个网络公司。那大家呢，可以在网上这个互留留言，同时呢交换在网上这个及时拍摄的这个照片，让大家共享当时发生的一些事情。那同时呢，可以在这个社交网站上交更多的朋友，了解发生在大家周围更多的事儿。同时呢，像现在在中国非常流行的很多这个网站呢，都可以流行非常比方说转帖的形式，把你觉得非常有意思的或者是比较有趣的一些新闻呢发到网上供大家来共享。同时呢还有各种各样的这种游戏网站，都让大家觉得这种新的这种网络时代呢的生活方式 maybe it's really a good new way of life.
Alright, and that's all for today's show. We're gonna wrap up today's show with a song LDN by Lily Allen. We're gonna see you tomorrow. Bye bye.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie 经济学，
欢迎来到 Cookie 经济学。今日茶点：天气期货 ，Weather Derivatives。1997年，美国芝加哥期货交易所推出了天气期货产品，交易者靠预测买卖未来的温度赚取差价，商品价格和天气息息相关。冬天冷，取暖燃料就会涨价， 夏天凉，空调就卖不出去。天气期货可以帮助企业规避天气风险，有的企业还能从异常天气当中获利。
瑞士一波路表为您准点报时，浪漫时刻一生相伴。瑞士一波路表。
北京时间23:00。